We're going to have our Bible reading now, which this evening is from Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, you'll find that on page 1000 of the church Bibles. If you didn't bring a Bible with you tonight, please feel free to put a hand in the air and get one. Not all of us use a paper Bible, some of us will be using an app, and if you need to get that open, that's the moment to do it. But Matthew chapter 28, page 1000. This glorious chapter, the facts of the gospel we believe. Jesus was crucified, but is risen. And we're going to read that account together. Matthew 28 verse 1 says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" This is God's word to us this evening. Let's pray together, and then we're going to have a think about these words together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you that this book we have in front of us this evening is no ordinary book. Father, we're not a book club, but this is your living word, living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, it is a sword in the hand of your Holy Spirit. And we ask tonight that as we come back to these words, which to many of us are familiar words, words that we have as our verse for the year, that you would be pleased to speak into our lives tonight. That, Father, you would progress us in our faith, that you would make us more sure of Jesus, that you would prompt us and challenge us and change us. Lord, would we walk out of here tonight resolved to do certain things because you have spoken into our hearts tonight? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if we could just say this together. It's our verse for the year. It's been hanging up here all year. But why don't we say these words together? It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are familiar words, perhaps, to many of us, aren't they? Not least because they've been hanging behind us for 9 months of the year. But these are the words that in January this year, we picked, or the leadership picked, as our verse for the year for 2019. They are words of the Lord Jesus Christ that the leadership of this church thought, well, these are words that we long to shape and direct us, both as individuals in the church, but also corporately as we pressed on into 2019. And so here's the thing. We're now 9 months. That's scary, isn't it? How on earth is it September? But we are now 9 months into this year. And at the beginning of September, it seems like a good point to just pause as a church family and say, how are we doing? If this is our verse for the year, if this is what we wanted to shape us and to direct us as individuals and as a church, how are we getting on? We did this last year with our verse for the year, but you can think of it a bit like an MOT. For those of you who own a car, you'll know what an MOT is. You take your car in for an MOT, and as you take it in, they do all sorts of checks on your car. They check the light bulbs are working, that the wipers are doing what they should be doing, that there's no major problems, and they tell you what needs fixing. And the plan is tonight that we simply do that with our verse for the year. We MOT it together. We say, well, how are we doing? What do we need to put right? What wiper blades do we need to change? Is there something that we haven't been doing that we should be doing as a church family and as individuals this year? And if we're going to start that MOT, then what we need to redo is familiarize ourselves with the logo that we put up at the beginning of the year. It's this simple logo here. Many of you will recognize it, partly because you hoot at people who have them on their cars as they're driving around, or you crawl behind one at about 3 miles an hour as they're getting going. But you'll know this logo. This is the learner logo, the L plate that often sits on people's car. And it indicates to you that inside that car is somebody who's learning. They are learning to drive. And this simple logo, as we consider this verse for the year in MOT, this simple logo reminds us of something that Jesus wants us to be, and it reminds us of something that Jesus wants us to do. If I could make it more personal, as we've been living 9 months of 2019, it is something that Jesus wants you to be, and something that Jesus has wanted you to be doing this year. It captures something of what Jesus wants you to give your time and your energy and your commitments to throughout this year. And what is it? What is it that the Lord Jesus has wanted of us in 2019? Well, we put it like this at the start of the year, but it hasn't changed, okay? Jesus wants us to be disciples. That's what he wants you to be, who are making disciples. That's what he wants you to do. Be disciples, that's what he wants you to be, who are making disciples. That's what he wants you to do. So just look at me again, if you've got your Bible, just at this familiar words, verse 18 and 19. Jesus announces to them, following his resurrection, this kind of coronation, as it were, to the highest position of the universe. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That's what he's doing. Make disciples of people. That's what he wants us to be getting on with. Or go and make them my disciples, Jesus is saying. And here's where the logo comes in, you see. Because a disciple is a learner. A disciple is someone who has attached themselves not to a club or an ideology, or a system, but a disciple is someone who has attached themselves to a person. And as we look at Matthew 28, that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the master. He's the Lord. He's the one with all authority in heaven and on earth. And a disciple is a lifelong learner of the Lord Jesus. That's what a disciple is. And standing before Jesus as he says these words, go and make disciples of all nations, are 11 disciples. See, look at verse 16. That's who he's addressing in this occasion. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Here are 11 men, as you read backwards through the gospel, who have left everything to follow Jesus. They've attached themselves to him and said, Jesus, we want to learn from you. Jesus, you're worthy of learning from because you are clearly somebody special. You're clearly someone we need. They've attached themselves to Jesus with their whole lives, listening to him and learning from him. 11 lifelong learners of the Lord Jesus. And I want to say one of the encouragements of that is verse 17. You see, when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. That's what a learner is. They're worshipping the Lord Jesus because they recognize his position of authority. But what does it go on to say in verse 17? What does it say there? But some doubted. It's encouraging, isn't it? You know, actually, discipleship isn't about kind of having it all sorted. Being a learner from the Lord Jesus means you're constantly wrestling with things. You know, there's big questions that come up in life, or perhaps circumstances challenge certain things. But it's still okay. You can still be a learner. You can still have attached yourself to the Lord Jesus. And here are these 11 men, and he stands in front of them, and he says, go and make others what you have become. Go and make others lifelong learners. You see, what is it that Jesus wants us to have been doing this year? Here we are, we're in September. You know, man, where has that year gone? Maybe some of you are thinking that. I'm thinking that, like, wow, what have I done for 9 months? But what is it that Jesus wants us to have been doing for these last months? What does he want us to have been doing as a church? And what does he want us to be carrying on doing as we look into the months that are ahead of us? Well, it's this. Be a disciple, a learner, who is making disciples of others. Or perhaps as our church aim puts it, if any of you can remember it, making Jesus known in Enfield Town as we grow to know him better. That's about being a disciple who is making disciples of others. Now, I guess then, as we're MOTing, we need to put that under test, don't we? For some of us in this room, that raises a question, doesn't it? Which I want to ask you very personally this evening. Are you a disciple? Are you a learner? Have you become a disciple this year? Over this last 9 months, perhaps some of you have been coming to church regularly and you've heard the gospel of Jesus. You've heard of his crucifixion and his resurrection, and you've heard of his ascension, and you've heard of his return as judge. And the question I've got for you is, have you become a disciple? Have you put yourself in the position of a learner? See, Jesus wants you to become a disciple. That's why he sent the 11 off. That's why the church ever since then has been seeking to obey. What is Jesus' agenda to the very end of the age? He wants you, if you're not a disciple, to be a disciple, to submit to him, to learn from him. And if you are a disciple this evening, I want to ask you, and be, you know, be honest, this is a chance, it's a more reflective sermon this evening, because I want to ask you, how's it been going as a learner? What sort of learner have you been this year? You know, if I was to have a driving lesson once every 3 years, you'd say, well, you're not much of a learner, are you? It might take me a long time to get through my test. What sort of a learner are you from the Lord Jesus? Do you kind of dip into his word once every few months, or have you been an eager learner this year? What sort of time have you given to learning from the Lord Jesus, to being a learner, to being a disciple? How much have you given to his words, to listening to him, to learning from him, to learning with others? You see, if I was to ask some of you this evening, well, what are the things that Jesus has been teaching you this year? What do you feel like you've learned from him this year? What would you say? I'm not going to ask you that. I'll put you on the spot. But it is an interesting question to think about, isn't it? 9 months in, have we really been disciples this year? Have we really been learners of the Lord Jesus? And disciples, you see, always have their L plates on. You never graduate from the school of the Lord Jesus. Maturing, yes. Learning and growing, yes. But as disciples of the Lord Jesus, we never take our L plates off. It's good to MOT. It's good to pause. And I want to encourage you to do that this evening as we sit here. It's good to MOT how we're getting on. Jesus wants us first and foremost as a church to be disciples, to be learners, to be those who submit themselves to Jesus as the one with all authority and learn from him. But he doesn't just want us to be disciples. There's something he wants us to be doing. He wants us to be disciples who are making disciples. And so how's that going? That's another question, isn't it? How's that going this year? Being a disciple who is making disciples of others. You see, Jesus here gives us kind of three areas to MOT ourselves under, to test whether we are perhaps engaging in and being part of the making of disciples. You see, first of all, he says being disciples who make disciples will involve going. That's the first thing that he shows us. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul from Romans. This is a challenge, isn't it? How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And let me just change that a moment and try and put it in the language of this verse and see if it has a bite for you. How then can anybody become a disciple of the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they go? Unless someone goes to them with the gospel. Jesus says, go. Go and make disciples. Literally, move from A to B. That's what going is. Sorry to spell out the obvious for you. But if I say go somewhere, I mean move from where you are to over there. You have to go. You have to move. And Jesus is saying, literally, travel to make disciples. Unless you go, how will anyone hear about the Lord Jesus? Unless we go, people will not hear the good news. And who is it that Jesus wants us to go to, according to these verses? He wants us to go to all nations. Even to Enfield, even to England. He wants all nations to hear the gospel. To every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. Now, I'm guessing because lots of us are kind of quite churched in this room, that's kind of lost its edge. But I want to transport you back to a moment to Jesus standing on a mountain with 11 Jewish men in front of him. And he says to them, go to all the nations and make disciples of them. Now, you've got to just understand something of the shock factor for that in them. Because that is him calling them to cross boundaries. It's calling them to mix with people that they would not have been used to mixing with. Friends, we have got to be mixing with people that we're not so comfortable with, because we want them to know about Jesus. We've got to be crossing boundaries, whatever those boundaries are, to make Jesus known. And friends, I ask myself this question as much as everyone else. But where have we deliberately gone this year in order to make a disciple? Which part of the street did you cross, perhaps? Whose door did you knock on this year because you thought, well, they're new in my street and I'm going to knock on their door because I've not met them yet and this might lead to a chance to share the good news of Jesus? Who in the office that you work in did you go and talk to this year with the hope that you might be able to share Jesus with them? Are you going? Are we going? See, have we been going as a church? You see, this is a corporate thing as well as an individual thing. Have we been going as a group, or are we just sitting in here? You see, being disciples that make disciples will involve us going out to where people are. Because people won't just walk into church. Some might, and that's great. But to lots of people, it's just a mysterious thing that a group of kind of fanatical people do on a Sunday. But if anyone's going to hear the good news of Jesus, it's going to take us getting out of here and going to where people are together. See, we have had some encouraging times. I don't want to kind of just beat us up. Actually, I think we've had some great times this year of going. We've done some great stuff with on the streets and chatting to people. We've had some great times in our door-to-door ministries. I've been speaking to some of you of individuals, and there's really encouraging stories of the things that are happening. The Market Stall ministry has been great this year. We've had an encouraging time when we went over to Turkey Street for a week and we knocked on loads of doors and we chatted to people about the Lord Jesus. We have had a good time going, but we could be doing more, couldn't we? See, did you get involved in any of those things? There's a question, isn't it? Maybe you can't physically be involved in the going because your legs won't take you. But did you pray? Did you pray to that end? Lord Jesus, we want to make disciples. We want to see these chairs filled with new disciples, people who are discovering how good Jesus is. So have we been going as a church? And what about individually? Have you been going on your own? Where have you been? Or where will you go this year to make a disciple of others? What door have you knocked on your street? What person have you chosen to meet up with for a coffee? Which person in your workplace have you deliberately moved towards with the hope of making them a disciple? And friends, again, you might be sitting there thinking, well, God, I did pray about that in January, and God has given me an opportunity, and I've been sharing the gospel with this friend, and I want to say to you, great, amen, praise God, keep it up. But for some of us, maybe this is just a gentle nudge at the beginning of September to say, yeah, I set out at the beginning of year to go and find someone to share the gospel with, but I haven't quite plucked up that courage yet. I haven't quite got around to organizing it yet. And maybe this is just the nudge to do that. And what about further afield? There's something to think about, isn't it? We're to go together, we're to go to Enfield Town, we're to go to our different workplaces and neighborhoods. But how are some of you in thinking about going a little bit further than Enfield and a little bit further than England, perhaps to another country? See, what are you doing to support those who are going to other nations? We can't all go to other nations. Not all of us perhaps are wired that way, or perhaps some of us haven't got the mobility. But what are you doing to support those who are going to other nations to take the gospel? Some of you will have heard of the Joshua Project. It's a project that kind of charts where the gospel's kind of reached in the world. And according to their calculations, there's still 7,063 unreached people groups in the world. And how are those people going to hear the gospel? How are those friends going to hear the good news that Jesus has all authority in heaven on earth, that Jesus is the one who can forgive their sins and secure them eternal life? How are they going to hear? It's only as people go. It's only as people move from A to B and seek to tell them the gospel. Can I ask you, has Jesus perhaps laid it on your heart this year to go somewhere? And one of the things we're hoping to do in 2020 as elders is just to stir a little bit more interest in going a bit further than Enfield. And we're hoping that we can arrange some trips for people to test out going to other countries and seeing what it's like to take the gospel to people in other countries who've never heard it. We're excited about that. But has the Lord laid it on your heart? Has he been growing a heart for a people group? What have you done about it? Have you taken action on that this year? If it is on your heart, come speak to one of the elders. We'd love to chat to you about it. We'd love to help you think through, well, what does it look like to take the gospel to another country? Being disciples who make disciples will involve, what's it will involve? Going. Good, just checking some of you are still awake, okay? Only three of you were awake, but it will involve?
Going.
Good, you're getting there. Good. Here's the second test for MOT. Being disciples who make disciples of others will involve baptizing people. My Jessie, where's my Jessie? There she is. My Jessie's about to start secondary school, and we've gone through that task this summer of buying new school uniform, which we had to do every year anyway. But anyway, this is a new school uniform for a completely new school. And she's gone through this process of laying aside, sort of symbolically, her primary school uniform, and now she has her secondary school uniform. But the uniform marks you out, doesn't it? It marks out which school you go to. It marks out which school of learning you belong to. And in many ways, one of the things we have to understand when Jesus says, go baptize people, is it's really the same thing. Baptism is a visual act that marks out what school we belong to, which person we are learning from, which school of learning, as it were, we sit in. See, look at what Jesus says in these verses. Just have a look down again. He says to them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In part, and there's a lot more we could say about baptism, but in part, this act symbolizes leaving of one way of life, an old school, as it were, where you learned the wrong things, where you learned to walk away from God, leaving one way of life and moving into the school of learning from the Lord Jesus, joining of Jesus's family, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The joining of God's royal family through the joint actions of the Father who loved us, the Lord Jesus who gave himself for us, and the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus real to us. Through their combined actions, we are brought into this new family. We belong to a new school as we submit ourselves as learners to the Lord Jesus. See, where does being a disciple begin? It begins with a turning. It begins with what the Bible calls repentance, turning away from one thing and moving towards something else, turning away from a way of life that leaves God and the Lord Jesus out of the picture, wants nothing to do with him, into a life where we're saying, Jesus, we need what you did at the cross. Jesus, we want to learn from you. And baptism symbolizes this turning, this cleansing, this belonging to a new family. It symbolizes attaching ourselves to a new teacher. And so when he says, go baptize people, that's not the kind of the victorious, as it were, thing. So as soon as you baptize someone, you're like, woohoo, we've got another one. Actually, baptism becomes shorthand way of saying, preach the gospel to them that they might turn from their old way of life to the new and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then show it publicly by dunking them in water and showing that they've left one way of life and they now belong to a new school of learning. It's not that we're just going to try out and get as many people wet as possible. It's that we do the whole thing that leads to this moment where they say, I've left one way of life and now I'm following Jesus. I belong to something new. And as we MOT our verse for the year, friends, can I ask you tonight, perhaps some of you very personally, have you responded to the gospel of Jesus? Have you responded to the one who was crucified, is raised from the dead, will return as judge, and who has all authority on heaven and earth? If you have, then have you yet been baptized? Maybe some of you here tonight haven't yet gone through the waters of baptism, expressing publicly that you now belong to a new school. You haven't laid aside your primary school uniform, as it were, and put on your new uniform to say, this is the school I belong to. And if you have, then can I say to you, is that what your message of kind of telling people about Jesus includes? You've got to turn, you've got to belong, you've got to express that you belong to something new. And as we look back on this year, I think we've got much as a church family to thank God for. We're 9 months in, and by the grace of God, we've baptized 9 people as a church. That's not our work, that's the Lord Jesus bringing people to repentance and faith. But praise God, there are people, as we seek to be obedient to this, who are leaving an old way of life, who are turning to Jesus and who want to express it publicly. So, MOT, how are we doing? It will involve going, it will involve baptizing. And the final thing, just to test and check ourselves up on, is it will involve teaching. Just come back with me to the L plates for a moment. You see, as I said earlier, disciples never move on from their L plates. You know, it's not that we're 9 months in and some of us are sort of hanging up our L plates. Well, we've done a lot of learning this year. We're going to put the L plates away. Thank you very much. We feel pretty mature. Actually, we never graduate the school of Jesus. You never graduate being a learner. Yes, we mature. Yes, we get perhaps a little bit further on in the faith, and there are things that perhaps we understand a little bit more and things that Jesus is unable to put into practice, but we never stop being learners. By very name and very nature, a disciple remains a learner. You see, if you ask someone, do you stop learning? Some people might say yes, but if I said to you, do you stop being a disciple? You'd say, oh no, we never stop being disciples. But they're the same thing. A disciple is a learner. And see, look at what Jesus says in verse 20. He says, you go and these people that you have gone to and you've told the gospel so they get baptized, what are you to do? Verse 20, you teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Disciples need teaching. And what that means is that I need teaching and you need teaching. And what is it that we need teaching? We need teaching how to follow the Lord Jesus. Each of us in this room is in different places. We've got different friendships. We've got different jobs. We've got different circumstances, hard and some easy perhaps, some joyful, some sad. But every one of us in this room needs teaching how to follow Jesus where he has put us. And that means that we need teaching the scriptures, which brings us back full cycle. Are you being a learner? Are you sitting, as it were, at the feet of Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want to learn from you. I want to be a disciple. As you look back on the last 9 months, do you read your Bible? One of the things we set out to do at the beginning of the year, over there you'll see a table, which is we just want everybody to be trying to get some kind of Bible into you, because that's how you listen and learn from Jesus. And so if you haven't done that or you've let that drop, then go back to that table. It's equipped with resources for all ages, all types, and all sort of circumstances to help you get going. Are you being a learner? Do you come to church as a hungry learner? Or do you come to church maybe just to hang out with your friends or because it's just part of your rhythm? Or do you come on a Sunday and say, Jesus, I want to learn from you today? You see, that's what it means to be a disciple. Jesus, I want to learn from you. It also means, actually, if we're being serious about being a learner, it means that we'll come alongside others who are perhaps further on in the faith, and we'll say, I want to learn from you. See, I wonder this year who it is within the church family that you've tried to sort of nuzzle up against and say, hey, please could I learn how to do this? Please could I learn how to be a disciple from you? You see, a disciple is both a learner and a teacher at the same time. It's a funny combo, isn't it? You're a learner and a teacher all at the same time. And if you are a disciple here this evening, can I ask you, who are you learning from? Who are you deliberately trying to help? That's the flip side, isn't it? Who have you helped this year to grow as a disciple? Could you name somebody in church? Could you think of somebody that perhaps over this year you've deliberately tried to get alongside in order to help them grow as a believer? See, I want to lay a challenge. I know lots of you very well, so I feel blunt enough to be able to do this. Some of you guys in this room have been Christians for a long time, which means you've walked the road of following Jesus for many years. And the Lord is bringing to this church family people who are really young in their faith. And some of you might be sitting there thinking, saying, I couldn't teach someone. That's not my role. That's Nathan's job. He stands at the front. That's not what we're talking about. Actually, for some of you guys who've been Christians for a while, we've got to be getting alongside the younger Christians and saying to them, hey, this is how you follow Jesus. This is what it looked like. Share your story. Share your experiences. Share some of the things you've learned. Help people how to follow Jesus. Let them ask questions. You see, if that isn't something you've done this year, then it is only September. And so we've still got a few months left of the year to say, well, why not have a go? Why not try and find someone? If you're thinking, I'd love to do that, but I've got no idea who I'd go and ask in the church family, then come and speak to one of us on the eldership or one of the staff team, and we'd happily kind of point you in the direction of someone that you could help to grow as a disciple. Parents, how are we doing at discipling our children? Part of our responsibility is to disciple them, to help them to be learners from the Lord Jesus. Being disciples who make disciples will involve teaching. And just to give a blatant plug once more, but if we're going to be serious about that, why not come to our Teach the Bible course? This isn't all about that, by the way. But actually, it's just a great plug, isn't it? If you want to teach the Bible, if you want to get alongside someone and help them, you're going to need to know how to do it from the Bible, because that's the Word of God, and that's how people will learn. And again, I want to say to you that if we're not deliberate about these things, then we won't do them. If we're not planning to do this, then we won't do it. So you need to plan. Plan to get alongside someone. Plan to go. Plan to sort of share the gospel with someone. Plan to how you might help somebody to grow. Friends, this is what Jesus wants us to be doing this year. It's 9 months in. If Jesus was to come and say, how are you getting on this year with that verse for the year? This is what he'd be telling us. Be disciples. Enfield Town Community Church, be disciples, be lifelong learners, be hungry to learn from Jesus, but who are making disciples of others. How have you MOT'd this evening when it comes to this verse? See, one of the great comforts of this verse for us is the final words of Jesus. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The great thing is, as we set out to do this, however we've done, whether we think, oh, I've got an awful lot more work to do, or whether we think, oh, God's really helped us, the point is that Jesus has been with us as we've been seeking to do this in 2019, and he will be with us for the rest of this as well. Jesus. And clock that. Who is it that's with us? The one who has all authority on heaven and earth. The one who died and rose again so that we could be forgiven. He's the one who helps us to continue this great work of being disciples who make disciples of others. Friends, let's pray together. I want to give you just a moment's quiet, just to review perhaps something in your own life. Maybe just the Holy Spirit tonight has just put his finger on one thing that you want to walk out of here tonight and say, Lord, I want to do that better this year. I need to do a bit more of that. Why don't you just pray about that for a moment? Oh, Father, please would you help us to be disciples. Help us to be those that submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus, the one who has all authority in heaven on earth, the one who died and rose that we might be forgiven. Father, thank you for all that we have learned from Jesus this year as a church family. And we ask that you would help us to grow as disciples, even in the remainder of this year and in the years to come. And we ask, Father, please, for your help to make disciples of others. Father, sorry for our slowness to go. Father, we often plan to do things but get swept up in the busyness of life. Father, sorry for the people that I resolved to go to at the beginning of this year but 9 months in haven't yet done it. Father, please would you give us Holy Spirit boldness to call people out of one way of life to learn from the Lord Jesus. And Father, please, Lord, help us to be those who teach others, who can come alongside others and help them to learn too. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.